Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Mark Levine reporting live from the Center for American Progress in Washington, D.C. What do Republicans really think about Donald Trump? I mean, we know that they largely support him, but do they not see what kind of person he is? To help answer this question, I've invited one of my friends and colleagues on the air today. Her name is Virginia Senator Amanda Chase. Now, Amanda is a Tea Party Republican, and I am a progressive Democrat. I am a Virginia delegate. She's a Virginia senator. You would think we have little in common. And it is true that on the vast majority of those left-right issues, we tend to disagree. Guns, abortion, taxes, the environment. You're going to find Amanda and I on different sides of those issues. And in fact, I'm going to invite her back a couple weeks where we're really going to go over those differences and have a good philosophical debate. I'm really looking forward to that. You should too in about 2 weeks. The one thing Amanda and I agree on, though, is transparency. And I'm proud to say that we've worked together to co-found the Virginia Transparency Caucus and help to bring a lot of daylight into the Virginia General Assembly, because even when we disagree, we think our constituents have a right to know what we're doing. So first of all, Amanda Chase, I want to welcome you to the Inside Scoop, and thank you for working with me on transparency, which you do so well.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for the invitation to be on your show today, and nothing delights me more than us walking down the hall together, giving each other hugs, and everybody in the hallway gasping.
That's right.
How can they get along so well together? But I just appreciate your desire to represent your constituents back home. Same here. I'm not given to special interest groups just like you are. We really just want to represent our district, and our districts are very different. But
they are indeed. And we represent them well.
It's always a pleasure to work with you.
It's a pleasure to work with you, too. We are kind of the odd couple around Richmond because we do legitimately like each other, even though we often disagree with each other. And frankly, I think it's a good model for politicians across the country. You don't have to hate the person that you disagree with. So again, Amanda Chase, we'll be back in 2 weeks. We're going to have a long discussion on all those liberal conservative issues that we normally disagree on, and you will hear polite disagreement. I'm looking forward to that debate in 2 weeks. I only have her for half an hour today, though. And so I want to ask you, Amanda, I call her Amanda because she's my friend, Senator Chase, but hey, what the heck, she's my friend. Amanda, I want to ask you the question that really puzzles progressives all across the nation. I really want you to help us understand this. So we progressive Democrats, we're used to conservatives, right? I mean, we are used to Mitt Romney and John McCain and Marco Rubio and Jeb Bush, and we disagree with them, and we might even pick on them from time to time, but we don't really fear them. We don't we're not confused by them. We know where they stand. We disagree with them. We have our debates and so forth. But when we see Donald Trump, we see someone completely different from all those, dare I say, establishment Republicans I just named. We see a guy who's corrupt. We see a guy who is lying, I think, 16 times a day now, the Washington Post says. We see a guy tweeting with abandon, attacking the people he disagrees with real nastiness, is likely involved in some kind of collusion with Russia. And we say to ourselves, all right, we get policy, but why are Republicans continually defending this guy who doesn't seem to know what even it means to be president of the United States? Help us understand how a Republican looks at Donald Trump.
Oh, I never get asked this question.
Well, there you go. See, that's why. There you go. That's why I brought you on the air. I like to ask the tough questions.
I'm being cynical, actually. We as Republicans get this question a lot, actually, about Donald Trump. And so, you know, here's what I would say. You know, we all have siblings who are ours because they are our siblings. And we didn't necessarily choose them, but they are in our family. And so sometimes they do things that we're embarrassed about. Sometimes they do things that we're like, okay, that's a little bit better. But I'll tell you an honest story. First of all, I'd like to say I've never met Donald Trump since he's been president. I met him one time, 2 weeks in Chesterfield before he announced that he was going to run for president. And I was invited to this. It was a big GOP, Chesterfield GOP had him as our guest speaker, and it was some type of a fundraiser for the party. And so I went, and at the time I was running for Senate, so I paid for my ticket to go to the VIP ceremony. And that was the first time that I actually met Donald Trump. And my initial impression was not positive. He seemed a little impatient, and he was annoyed at everybody that was wanting to get their picture made with him. And I thought, well, you know, I paid for VIP, so I might as well get my picture made. But I put my staffer in between me and Donald Trump because I thought,
You were afraid he might touch you inappropriately?
I'm like distancing myself or not. You know, I don't know if I want to be that closely associated with him or not. That's just the honest to God truth. Because I really do look at people based, you know, individually. I try not to look at the media because I know a lot of times it's not always the distorted. It's sometimes distorted. Okay, let's be honest. I mean, whether it's conservative or liberal or what have you, it's someone else's interpretation. And, you know, you and I have both been at events and we've looked at it in the paper and we're like, were we at that same event? Because what I saw was very different. So I've always tried to, you know, make my judgment based on real interactions with that person. And I'm just being honest, I did not have a positive vibe from him when I first met him. And
how did he strike you? Tell me about this vibe. He's impatient. What else? Give me an idea. I've never met the man. I never wanted to meet the man. But just one-on-one, when you see him, what was the vibe you got? I mean, help us out.
Well, he wasn't overly friendly with me, and he just seemed impatient. He just wanted to get to the next person, get through the pictures, and kind of move on with things. And I thought in my head, I didn't say it out loud, but I thought, man, it's kind of odd, first of all, that he would come to Chesterfield to a GOP meeting. Second of all, I wonder if he's thinking about running for president or some other higher office, and if so, I better put my staff between me and this person in case they try to use this picture some way, somewhere along the route. And so, you know, that's where I was then, quite honestly. I did not vote for him in the primary. I was actually actually supported Ted Cruz. And I know y'all could say a whole list of other
issues about Ted Cruz. Oh, I completely disagree with you on that. But this is not a show to bash Ted Cruz. We you know, we can save that for another day.
But here's what I would say. You know, as first of all, he's not a politician. So I do like that. I like that there's someone in there that is not a politician. I would also say that I like that he's kind of given the media kind of a run for their money, if you will. I mean, the media just seems to kind of dictate the messaging out of Washington. And as a conservative, you know, that's a little bit frustrating sometimes, you know, when you feel like your words are kind of twisted and used against you sometimes. But I like the fact that he was not beholden to any type of special interest group, which has kind of always annoyed me. I want someone that's going to be true to the people. And so I have to give him that.
Do you think that Donald Trump is more true to the people or more true to himself? I agree he's not beholden to a particular special interest. I think he's lining his pockets, to be honest with you. I really do.
Well, I mean, like I said, I've only met him that one time. What I do know is that the economy seems to be booming, so I'm happy about that. However it's happening,
Obama, but we can move on. No, but I actually want to not talk about too much about policy, because we're going to save that for two weeks from now. What I want to know is, I mean, do you think he's an honest man? Really? I mean, that's what liberals are saying. Do Republicans really think he's an honest man when he, you know, he changes his mind and says one thing and says another, and no, I knew nothing about this meeting, and oh, yes, I dictated the Donald Trump meeting, and oh, there's no collusion, and if there is collusion, well, you know, it's not a crime, and I'm not going to turn over my tax returns, but I'm not hiding anything. We just see a guy who is scrambling to keep track of all his lies and doesn't even remember them. Totally apart from policy. Completely apart from policy. Do you trust Donald Trump?
How would you say this?
I don't know. I'm asking you. You say whatever you want.
I mean, I would say, yeah, I think he's probably not completely truthful. I do think that there's probably a sense of, you know, looking out for himself. I mean,
do you find him a little narcissistic?
See that throughout his life.
Do you find him a little narcissistic, Amanda? I mean, come on.
Absolutely.
Okay,
I mean, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. But, I mean, what I would say is I think that he has done a good job of surrounding himself with people who I do like. I do like Mike Pence. I think Mike Pence is a man of integrity and character. That's what he's known for. So do I trust Donald Trump? I really question whether he's always telling the truth. Yes, I agree.
Okay.
I don't believe he's always telling the truth. Do I like that? No. I tend to try to – I like to think I'm an honest person. I mean, I'm very truthful. I mean, you know that. I'm not a politically
– But here's
person.
The thing. Why do you have – I mean, look, party loyalty is a very interesting and weird thing, right? I mean, why do you have to defend him at all? I mean, you can say – you know, you like this policy, you don't like that policy. You like Mike Pence.
Right.
I obviously don't like Mike Pence. But sure. Why can't, I mean, why don't enough Republicans say, and I'm pushing you a little hard here, but no, you can handle it. You're tough. I know that. But my question is, why don't Republicans say, I don't think he's an honest man? I mean, I don't think any rational human being who fairly looks at him thinks he's an honest man, or even close to it. I mean, I'm not saying that Obama never lied, or Bush never lied, or Clinton never lied. I'm not saying that, but there's a one thing between telling a lie, you know, once a month and telling 16 a day. I mean, this guy is a pathological liar.
Part of the reason I ran for office because I feel a lot of times most politicians are not honest.
But are there levels, aren't there? Levels of dishonesty.
No.
I mean, Trump's don't you see Trump as different from almost any other Republican or certainly Republican president we've ever had or any president, Republican or Democrat? I mean, you say he's not a politician, but there are honest, honorable people that aren't politicians who I have respect for. He's unique, don't you think?
I mean, I think the way I have to kind of look at it is, it's kind of like character versus policy. Like, I agree with him on some of his policy issues. The character part concerns me greatly.
And that's the part I'm focusing on because that's the part we don't understand.
The character part is one that I don't understand. You know, I don't know that in Republican circles he would be someone that would be in my inner circle, quite honestly. Do I feel like a need to defend him? No. I'm not loyal to a party. I'm loyal to the principles that my party represents, which is limited government, free market enterprise system, those types of things. I'm more loyal to my Republican creed. And I will tell you, I hold Republicans to that creed. And I get on them, my Republican colleagues, that don't adhere to that. You know, it's all about transparency, like you and I were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I was very transparent when I ran for office, and I went down my list. This is who I am. This is what I stand for. And if you like me, if you like the policies that I represent, vote for me. But I wasn't trying to hide it. You know what I mean? I mean,
that's important. Amanda, I tell you, I got to take a break. I got to take a commercial break.
Yes, absolutely.
But take a break. We'll be right back in about 4 minutes. Stay tuned, everyone, with more from Senator Amanda Chase. If you want to call in, it's 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. I only have her for another 8 minutes or so, and then you got the second half hour with me. Stay tuned.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, with my wonderful guest, Republican Senator Amanda Chakes, asking her some really tough questions, basically how she deals with Donald Trump and her party. And if I could summarize the first part, it's she agrees with some of his policies, but doesn't necessarily agree with his character. Is that a fair summation, Amanda?
I think so.
Okay.
I think that's a pretty
so I have a caller on the phone from Georgia who has a question for you. It's Reggie, line 3 in Georgia. Reggie, you're on the Inside Scoop.
Well, happy Tuesday to both you and your guest, Mrs. Chase, Mark. I would just like to know, why can't the GOP / Republican Congress stand up to Donald Trump and stop him whenever he tries to do anything wrong, such as tweeting and everything else in between?
All right. So thank you for your question, Reggie. So and I know this is Congress, not the Virginia State Senate, but in general, Amanda, why can't Republicans stand up to Donald Trump? I think that's the heart of his question.
Well, I think Republicans, I mean, we're all elected by our constituency. I have no control over my colleagues in the Senate, just like they don't have control over me. A lot of people are under the impression, and I know, Mark, you can probably say this in your Democratic caucus, you have no control over
no,
your members.
No, I don't.
And so, you know, we'd like to think that we do, but we really don't have that kind of control. And I get that question a lot, even from Republicans, saying, can't you get him to stop tweeting? And I say, well, no. I mean, we're all our own people. We're individuals. We're American citizens elected by those people that put
us
there.
But even if you can't get him to stop tweeting, do you think Republicans should criticize him more? Again, I'm not talking about policy now. We're going to do policy in 2 weeks. But just on some of those character issues that where he seems to, you know, attack war veterans, attack John McCain. I mean, I can just go on and on. Charlottesville, good people on both sides. I can give you 100 examples, mock disabled. Do you think that Republicans should stand up to him more when he does these character things that you disagree with?
Well, I think they do, actually. I mean, I do think that they're, I mean, you've even got the Never Trumpers out there. I'm not one of them, so I'll be honest with that. But, you know, you do have a very big split in the Republican Party right now. You've got Never Trumpers. You've got people that are kind of somewhere in between. You have the people that have totally embraced Trump. I probably see him somewhere in the middle of, I don't appreciate maybe his character and what he stands for. I'm generally supportive of the policies that he's doing. I credit some of the policy changes to the good economy that I'm seeing with with our family's personal business. So, you know, I've just had to separate the personality from the policy and just make the best of it.
Let me ask you one last question. We only have a minute left,
yeah.
And I know you got to run. Donald Trump is constantly attacking the Robert Mueller investigation. It's a witch hunt and you know, 45 tweets a day saying it's horrible. Do you think Robert Mueller should continue his investigation? Do you think it's a fair investigation? Do you think that he's doing a reasonable job in trying to get to the truth?
And here's what I would say to that. I don't know Robert Mueller, and I, you know, not intricately paying super close attention because I mainly focus on state issues, as
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. True.
But I mean, I just think it needs to be an honest, transparent process, and I think all Republicans, I would say most Republicans, want that. They want a fair process.
Yeah, I would say this. I think if the president would stop complaining about it, methinks he doth protest too much. That if he were innocent, he'd complain a lot less. Amanda Chase, the time's way too short. 30 minutes sped by. I'm proud to say I'm going to have you in 2 weeks for a full hour. I'm looking forward to having you back on the Inside Scoop. Thanks for coming.
And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. I hope you enjoyed my guest, Senator Amanda Chase. She is a friend of mine. I know people find that weird to think that progressive Democrats and Tea Party Republicans can be friends, but we can be, and actually we really have worked together to bring transparency to the Virginia General Assembly, and I appreciate her for that. Obviously, I disagree with her on a wide number of issues, and I'm really glad she's going to come back in 2 weeks to discuss those. But I wanted to ask her about Donald Trump because it is a conundrum for us. He's not like an ordinary Republican. He's a conspiracy theorist. He's dishonest. He's involved in some kind of money laundering scheme. It's not just Paul Manafort and Rick Gates. We'll get to that in a second. But I thought Amanda Chase actually made an interesting distinction between his policies and his character. And she admitted she doesn't like his character. And that was honest. That's not something you hear from a lot of Republicans in public. It is, however, what I hear from a ton of Republicans in private. And Amanda Chase, to her credit, I knew would tell us in public some of the things that she says in private. In private, I hear Republicans all the time talking about Donald Trump's character and what a character he is. But, you know, we'll get to why she supports policies and so forth in 2 weeks. But, you know, she likes Ted Cruz, right? She likes Mike Pence. These are Republicans that make me shiver. But I don't think they're crazy. I think they're really bad people. But I don't think that they are mentally unstable. I don't think Ted Cruz or Mike Pence is mentally unstable. I do think Donald Trump has a screw loose. And I think Republicans know that. And they just have to be careful. But it is hard to understand. And that's why I brought her on. If you want to comment on that, please do. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. So this was, I don't know how many days in the Paul Manafort trial. It actually is occurring in Alexandria, Virginia, which is the community I represent in the Virginia House of Delegates. Haven't been to the trial yet. I've been invited. I probably should show up. Just been busy. But as we listen to the trial, it's a lot more than a $15,000 ostrich jacket and an $18,000 python jacket. Yeah, Paul Manafort buying $1 million in suits in a year. It's not a crime. It's weird, but it's not a crime. But when you understand what he's doing, it becomes not weird at all. Manafort made $30 million that he didn't report on his taxes. $30 million. Just an oversight, right? Oops, I forgot to declare that. $30 million. Now, when you're involved in money laundering, the tricky thing is how to get money from place to place, right? If you bring more than $10,000 in cash across a border, you're required to declare it under U.S. law. It's not illegal to do so, but you're required to declare it. Large money wire transfers between banks, there's a record of that. And Paul Manafort knew all that. But paying from foreign money banks for suits, not really something that they monitor. So if you want to bring $1 million to this country, it's virtually hard to bring. It's impossible to bring it in cash. I mean, you're almost certainly going to get caught. What are you going to do with the customs? Open up the suitcase and there's $1 million in cash. If you do a wire transfer, it's all going to be reported and you're going to have to pay taxes on it. Or you could buy yourself some really expensive suits. That's how Paul Manafort did it. Frankly, you think he'd pick diamonds or something like that, something he could easily resell, you know, not suits that are fit to his style. Maybe he just really liked ostrich suits. But when you understand his problem getting tens of millions of dollars from a foreign source to the United States without it being tracked, so he doesn't have to pay taxes on it, you can understand what he's doing. And in doing what he's doing, he's falling in the footsteps of a certain guy named Donald J. Trump. Donald J. Trump is the ultimate money launderer. This really hasn't been discussed that much. And it's fascinating to me for a guy who claims he has no connection with Russia. Donald Trump has been involved with Russian mobsters since 1984. That's a long time ago. That's before even the Soviet Union fell. And he's been consistently and constantly involved with them. In fact, his building in New York, Trump Tower, was only the second building in all of New York City, which is a pretty large city. You may have heard of it. The second building in all of New York City to allow corporate shell companies to purchase rooms, to purchase condos, to purchase units. Why does that matter? You may have heard in the news, oh, well, yeah, Donald didn't really have a connection to a Russian. Yeah, a few Russians bought, had apartments in his Trump Tower, but, you know, that's nothing there. That's one way to spin it. Here's another way. It's very rare for people to want money from shell corporations. What's a shell corporation, by the way? It's not Shell Corporation, right? It's not that gasoline place. A shell corporation is like an empty shell. It's a term used, a term of art, actually not technically a legal term, but a term of art used for a corporation where you don't know who owns it, you don't know who its shareholders are, you don't quite know what it owns. It's just sort of a legal entity, which unfortunately, according to the U.S. Supreme Court, they found that somehow the 14th Amendment applies to corporations, but not to black people. Yeah, that was in the 1880s. Santa Fe decision. But because of our weird laws around corporations, if you want to hide money, the best way to hide it is in corporations. I used to practice law in Los Angeles, and one of my cases involved finding a millionaire's money who had defrauded my client and was hiding the money. And I had to find it. And I had to go through shareholder records, and it's not publicly reported. And then you have to find the corporation nestled, and the corporation nestled in the other corporation, which really owns three corporations and has a Bermuda or Bahamas or Cayman Islands or Swiss bank account. It's tough. When they say follow the money, they mean it. Following the money is exactly how you find the criminals. And if you want to do tax evasion, the more complicated, the better. Why did Donald Trump have in his hotel allow corporate shell companies? And why don't most, not his hotel, his apartment house, why don't most New York condos, New York's a big city, right? I don't know, 8 million people, 10 million people, however many people in New York City, why don't they all accept money from shell corporations? Because you don't know where the money's coming from, right? Somebody plunks down a bunch of money, and it's this corporation controlled by this corporation, controlled by that corporation, and we don't know who the shareholders are of that corporation. The money can't be traced. In other words, it's perfect for money laundering. Now, most New York condo owners want to know who's paying their money. They care who their tenants are. They want to make sure they're not criminally money laundering. They want to make sure that the money is clean. And yet in Donald Trump's building, 86 units. That's not a small number. 86 units in his building were all cash sales to buyers connected to Russia or former Soviet republics, totaling nearly $109 million at Trump-branded properties in South Florida and New York City. 86. Russian, all cash transactions. Why? Well, you got to remember that Russians don't get their money legally, right? There was a time in the 1990s under Boris Yeltsin when Russia was transforming supposedly from a communist dictatorship to a proto-democracy. And they sold off all the government assets. And Vladimir Putin got them all at a really good price. Okay, not technically. But through his oligarchs, yes. Through various Russians, got extremely rich. And then what they did is they defaulted in 1998 on all the domestic debt. $40 billion. $40 billion they just didn't pay back to Joe Slavsky, right? Joe Russian. Boris and Natasha Rushnikov, they didn't get paid back. They invested in their Russian bonds like we invest in our U.S. Treasury bonds, and they got ripped off. And where did that $40 billion go? To Vladimir Putin and his friends in untraceable amounts. But, I mean, that's corrupt. In fact, the people who first complained about Yeltsin's corruption and later even more Putin's corruption, most of them ended up going to jail for some reason or mysteriously died based on some food poisoning. But remember, money, when you steal a bunch of money, and I mean a bunch of money, I don't mean $1 million, I mean $40 billion, it's hard to deal with that money. It's hard not to see Vladimir Putin's bank account. Hey, Putin, $40 billion, Russian people. He doesn't want that to be shown. So he gives it to all his friends. That's why they call them oligarchs. And they've got to launder the money. Once you understand money laundering, you understand Donald Trump, you understand Paul Manafort, you understand Rick Gates, you understand the Russian mob, you understand what Vladimir Putin's all about. What is money laundering? How do you launder money? Money laundering, and as any mob boss will tell you, is about taking money from illicit or illegal sources, stealing money, right, and then washing it and making it clean. So the mob would take money from, I don't know, threatening to kill someone and getting them to pay them off, or maybe from their prostitution business, or maybe from their drug business, whatever it is, prohibition. And then they would put it in some ordinary company, maybe a dry cleaning, maybe a restaurant, maybe a casino, which is why casinos were often places where mob activity was, because there's a lot of money there and a lot of cash there. That's why we need really good regulations of casinos. But then you wash it a few times, it comes out clean, it looks like a legitimate business, you declare taxes on a small part of it, and you get to keep all your legal gains. That's the heart of money laundering. Donald Trump's business success, I think we're going to find, is almost entirely based on money laundering. When he cheated American company after American company and American bank after American bank and refused to pay for the construction in his hotels or even 80 grand pianos that he ordered and then refused to pay for. All these things, people, understandably, stopped wanting to do business with him. In fact, the stupid people that would do business with him were the ones who would, you know, look at the reality show, The Apprentice, and think that there was any reality in that reality show. Actually, if you ask me what a conspiracy theorist is, it's someone who believes a reality show is true. Someone who believes that worldwide wrestling is true. Well, P.T. Barnum said there's a sucker born a minute. And suckers did continue to give Donald Trump money. But eventually, even the suckers realized they were going to lose their money if they invested it in Donald Trump. In come the Russians. The Russians are not suckers. But they look, and the KGB did this long while the Soviet Union was around, they look for a mark. Not my name, but an easy mark. A chump, as it were. Someone who is what Lenin used to call a useful idiot. That's his term, not mine. And useful idiots are people, usually businessmen with low scruples, people who are easy to blackmail. That's why they do all this sexual stuff that we talked about, send a prostitute to the hotel room, film them doing incriminating things. That's why I completely believe that the P-tape is real, because it fits entirely with the Russian method. And you compromise them. And they have shoddy morals, so they don't want to get caught doing, because they're already doing illegal behavior. One of the things the mafia does, by the way, is they prey on people who are already a little bit corrupt. It's kind of hard to steal from Joe Honest. Joe completely honest, unless he's completely naive. But most Joe Honest, if you try to steal from them, they'll call the police. But if you got already someone who's a bit of a thief himself, he can't call the police because he has his own thievery. So he gets easily corrupted or compromised, kompromat in the Russian term, by the Russians. It actually makes perfect sense. Everything Donald Trump is doing is classic. You know, there's I think it's Occam's Razor, there's a philosophical way of examining a question where the simplest solution usually is the right one, the answer that makes the most sense, that seems the most obvious one. And when you come to someone with a long history of money laundering, like Donald Trump, and you come to the Russians who have a long history of not only money laundering, but taking advantage of corrupt businessmen, it's a match made in hell. It's no surprise to me that Rick Gates stole, what, 700, was it, 1,000 million? I lose track. He stole a ton of money from Paul Manafort. There's no honor among thieves. And that's why I'm actually surprised that Paul Manafort hasn't flipped yet on Donald Trump. The evidence is overwhelming. And I would think he'd be willing to do that pretty soon. either that or he's got really nothing to say because the real dirt is on Donald Trump Jr. Call in if you have a question, 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275. We'll be right back, right after this.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. Thinking about my conversation with Amanda Chase and what she said about the media, and one of the reasons why I really like Amanda is not only are we friendly toward each other, but she really does give me an idea of how a conservative approaches the news, approaches everything. I mean, I really, sometimes it's hard for me to put my mind in that frame. And I think the difference between the way conservatives and liberals approach the news. I approach the news by looking to see what's true. To me, that is the essence of a news source. And if a news source is consistently saying things that are provably factually untrue, then it is not a news source. It might be a propaganda channel. It might be fiction. It might be Fox News. But it's not a news source. A news source looks to get the truth. And when they make a mistake, and all legitimate news sources make mistakes, they are quick to correct them and to correct them accurately. And if I see Amanda mentioned that, and it's true, sometimes something will happen and we see it in the press and it seems to be kind of a slant on what actually happened. Well, you know what you do? You call the press. I've had articles about me written where, and most of the time, I gotta say this, most of the press about me, I think, has been fair. I really do. I think every journalist I've worked with, every real journalist I've worked with, has strived to get it right. Maybe not some of the opinion journalists, but true reporters strive to get it right. And when they get it wrong, as they sometimes do, I have called news organizations and said, hey, you said this, it's actually this. And you know what? Every single time I've called them, they've printed a retraction. This has probably happened, I don't know, half a dozen times over my life. Every single time I just show them they get it wrong, they print a retraction. That's a legitimate news source. That's what the Washington Post does. That's what the New York Times does. That's what CNN does. It's not what Fox News does. So if people think that people have a bias, look at the news source and look at the individual. Actually, there are people at Fox News who I think that don't show a bias. There are a few. Brett Baer, Shepard. I mean, there's some that aren't terrible. But I don't really see the media, quote unquote, as having a slant. I see individuals in the media who are opinion journalists. I have a slant, right? I'm in the media. Mark Levin has an opinion. God knows. That's pretty obvious. But legitimate reporters are just trying to report the news. And I don't see a slant from legitimate reporters. And how do you know if they're legitimate? Well, again, if they get their facts wrong and they refuse to correct them, they're not legitimate. And you shouldn't listen to those people anymore. And if they spout conspiracy theories, if they come up with these crazy ideas that are easily proven false, you hear me, Alex Jones, then you're worse than an opinion journalist. You're a demagogue. You are a McCarthyist. You're someone who is making up lies to try to hurt people. So I don't have a problem with the media in general. I think most reporters fine. I'm easy to talk to. I tell them exactly what I think. But when the media gets it wrong, legitimate media corrects itself. So I don't bash the media. I love the media. I'm part of the media. The free press and the First Amendment is one of the main things that keeps America free. Hope you enjoyed the show today. We'll be back on Thursday with another Republican guest trying to figure out how they deal with Donald Trump. This is Mark Levin, signing off.